Hey everyone, thanks for coming out to the Ogilvy Day Stage. We're excited to have our next speaker, Kevin Nguyen, author of Oh, the Places You'll End Up Hanging Around. He is an editor at the Bygone Bureau, and the Bygone Bureau won the Web Award for Best Blog in 2009. The book is an earnest, humorous essay collection about graduating from college, and Kevin will fill you in with more. Please welcome Kevin.
How's it going? My name is Kevin Nguyen, and I'm an editor at the Bygone Bureau. And just a little background on the Bygone Bureau. It's a website that publishes long-form personal essays, a lot of it dealing with our changing relationship with technology. Just like a little background, me and my co-editor, Nick, started it in college. And we just kind of, we read a lot on the web. And, you know, like, what's nice about the web is if you think something needs to be created, if you see, like, a void, you know, you can be that person and create what is missing. And, you know, like, we just felt like there was this huge void where long-form personal essays, you know, like, huge moneymaker, wasn't really being filled. But just joking, there's no money in personal essays. So we started the site, and it was never really supposed to take off. And, you know, like, 4 years later, it's doing really well, and you know, a lot of people we really like enjoy the site, and that's what's really important to us. And we were lucky enough, South by Southwest was really our big breakout. We won the Web Award 2 or 3 years ago, and it's been a great experience since then. So sort of continuing on the path of trying to do things that don't make money, we thought, like, why not write a book? So we came up with a concept of, oh, the places you'll end up hanging around. And it's kind of a reaction to a lot of these essays and articles about sort of postgraduate life with the recession. You know, millennials can't find jobs. They just sit around feeling sorry for themselves. It's like partially true, but I didn't really believe it. I saw, as someone who graduated in 2009, I saw a lot of friends doing a lot of really amazing things. You know, working at nonprofits, traveling abroad, starting companies, doing all these things that I don't think they would have done if we were in a healthy economy. I think people would just sort of go into a job that maybe was comfortable and do something that wasn't very risky or exciting. So I kind of saw this optimism, and we set out to write an essay collection that sort of captured this sort of earnesty and optimism. I'm just going to read a couple pieces from the book, and then I'll take questions. So this is actually the outro of the book that I wrote. But I think it actually sets the tone pretty well. So, what is life like after graduation? How am I going to find a job? Where do I move, if anywhere? What am I going to do with myself? If you're asking yourself these questions, you're in good shape. Don't worry, freaking the fuck out is totally healthy. Trust me, I panic more than anyone else I know. I graduated in May of 2009 when the national unemployment rate hit a 26-year high. I'd studied creative writing, not exactly a major with a clear career path, even in a healthy economy, and I wasn't really sure what jobs I should be applying for or what I was even qualified to do. At the time, my family didn't have the money to float me, so I didn't even have the option of moving back home. I sent out 33 job applications for positions in 3 different cities and heard nothing back. And I know this exactly because I still have the spreadsheet that kept track of every single place I had applied. Between midterms and graduation, I woke up in the middle of the night frequently, honestly wondering how I was going to survive. But there must be a correlation between the amount you worry leading up to graduation and how well you do afterwards. The kids who don't really give a shit, some of them might be fine coasting, some of them might not. But here's one sure thing. Students who panic always do well. They search high and low for work, send out 4 million job applications, take risks, move to new cities, meet new people, and, like, you realize it takes time, but eventually the things in your life fall into place. I found a job eventually, and so did everyone I know that made a real effort. And true, I didn't love my first job, or my second job for that matter, but it was enough to get by. And from there, things started working out little by little. 3 years out of school, I have everything I want. A job that's meaningful, an apartment that's nice enough to vacuum with some regularity, free time to pursue creative interests, and someone in my life who means more than all those things combined. I'm in a place where I might even consider myself a grown-up. I sort of wish I could have known these things would have worked out earlier and enjoyed my last semester instead of just living in a perpetual state of hysteria. But truthfully, the panic was a painful, necessary step toward adulthood. The most challenging part of life after graduation isn't how hard you'll work. It's coming to terms with the fact that it's okay to be scared. So that's the conclusion of the book. So spoiler alert, it's going to be okay. So one interesting thing about the book is that we wanted to capture a lot of different experiences. We hail from Seattle. So a lot of our friends had pretty similar experiences, and Seattle's actually been sheltered from the recession a little more than some places, just because a lot of the tech industry is doing well. I'm preaching to the choir. So we went out and tried to find people who had different experiences. You know, we knew we wanted someone to write about their nonprofit experience, someone to write about moving abroad, someone who started a business, all these different things. So we went about asking friends and friends of friends. And so it turned out we were managing a bunch of writers, like, all around the country. And it was kind of like that, have you guys heard about, like, the Boeing Dreamliner? It's like it's this gigantic plane that Boeing is building, and it has parts from all over the world. And, you know, the idea was that, like, it was kind of like the first, like, huge production of globalization. And it was like a total shit show. And that's kind of how editing this book was for a while. Managing people through the internet, through Dropbox, Google Docs, Basecamp, with only 2 months to write it, was just like this insane nightmare. But it turned out really well. And I actually think it's sort of something that doesn't really happen often enough, where you get books that have perspectives from all around the country and kind of, you know, a lot of different experiences. So the next thing I'm going to read is actually not something I wrote personally. It's by a writer, Eli Lindert, and he's the one that who traveled abroad. And actually, I really like this piece because I think it kind of has like a surprising message, and I think it really encapsulates what we were trying to do with the book. It's called "Oh, the Countries You'll Flee." When in doubt, run away. That's what I've been doing since I graduated in late 2009. After the fleeting paradise of university, where my job was to read interesting books and write interesting things, I found myself unemployed, undertaking a futile job search, living with my senile grandmother in Los Angeles, commuting up and down the Californian coast in an effort to maintain a deteriorating college relationship, and generally trapped in the purgatorial condition that seemed something of an epidemic among the freshly minted college graduates. As my situation became increasingly claustrophobic, I knew that something had to change, and fast. My girlfriend begged me to get an apartment with her in the Bay Area, but the prospect seemed piled with encumbrances: a continued job search in an even worse market, the complete drainage of my bank account, the accumulation of debt, and a commitment to a girl whose urge to settle down was contrary to my every instinct. I realized that the solution to my problems did not lie with her, my family, friends, getting a job, the Bay, California, or anywhere else in the States. I needed to get out completely. And the further away I was, the better. Evacuation, a lovely word, its final syllable like the rush of wind. I decided on Cambodia, bought a one-way ticket, and broke the news. My family was supportive. Various relatives lauded my brave and adventurous spirit. But I couldn't help but think that staying together and trying to salvage my life in the States would require another kind of bravery altogether, a sort I evidently lacked. Perhaps it was unsalvageable, I told myself. I did not want to start so early in life on the path of piecing together the irreparable. Like a spoiled child, I preferred having something brand new, something fresh and shiny. My girlfriend was understandably shattered when I told her. I was, after all, abandoning her to face the post-grad wasteland alone. Saying goodbye to her was the most difficult part of leaving, perhaps the only difficult part. But I think now that I was fleeing our relationship more than anything else. I am terrible at severing my ties with women and have always relied on circumstance or catastrophe to do it for me. Some people in my place might have simply broken up and moved on. I ran off to Asia. I stepped off a plane on the other side of the world. I was, of course, stepping into a country where I did not speak the language, did not have a job, and knew not a single soul. But that was fine by me. I was free. The wise say that running away from your problems solves nothing, and I humbly disagree. If your problems are circumstantial, and you can extricate yourself from said circumstances with minimal damage to yourself and others, then running away is not only a perfectly valid option, but perhaps the best choice you can make. After the initial hardship that accompanied any major transition, Cambodia soon gave me everything I had been looking for: a vibrant, chaotic environment, a job at a top university, and wonderful friends. My first 8 months in Cambodia were some of the best of my life, but such a golden age couldn't last forever. Most of my friends were interns who stayed only between 3 and 6 months, and soon they left. They were replaced by new and interesting people from around the globe, but it was never the same. With each batch, something seemed to be lost, and gradually I grew tired of becoming so close to people, only to have them disappear. After 10 months in the country, I felt as though I were receiving a sort of karmic punishment for my own flight, that of being continually left. What do you do when paradise loses its color? Easy. You just go somewhere else. With a little effort, I could have easily rebuilt my social life, perhaps with longer-term expats, but I didn't really think I could ever recapture the thrill of the early days. Like before, I decided to move on rather than repair what I already had. This time, I picked Bolivia. I don't know why. It was something new, somewhere far away, and I began to feel better the instant I made the decision to leave. My remaining months in Cambodia passed in a haze as I withdrew completely from the outside world. I thrust myself into writing a novel and became an expert at politely declining invitations from my remaining friends. I was effortlessly saving more than half of my small salary, a feat I thought impossible in the former days of laughter and parties. I ate a lot of scrambled eggs in front of my computer. When I had enough money, I bought a one-way ticket, said my goodbyes, and left. Even as I settle into La Paz, I find myself thinking where I will go next, and I wonder how long a cycle like this can sustain itself. Perhaps the wise were onto something after all. But for now, I have a new city to learn, Andean mountains to climb, Amazonian tributaries to trout down, an entire country to explore. And when it inevitably loses its luster, so what? It's a big world, and all you need to do is jump. So one thing I just want to make note of. So the title, Oh, the Places You'll End Up Hanging Around, is a play on a Dr. Seuss book. And so originally, this was okay with the Dr. Seuss estate. But our well-intentioned but disorganized editor never really got that in writing. So the book was supposed to come out this spring, but just due to a legal hiccup, it's been delayed just because the Dr. Seuss estate does not like the title. So that's just a side note. But I was just going to take this time to see if anyone had any questions about the book, millennials, whether we find that word offensive a little bit. Sorry? I don't think it's a bad word, but I think it just became the word that, like, the New York Times and kind of similar publications, like, latched onto to describe, like, really narcissistic people on Tumblr. But otherwise, it's not really a bad word. I mean, it seems accurate. Anyone else? How do I think millennials are different from people from the generation before? I don't think as people we're really different. I just think that circumstance is very different, and I just sort of... It's actually really hard leaving college and kind of thinking that you're not going to get a job. But on the flip side, there's way less of an expectation that you'll get a job. So moving back home with your parents suddenly doesn't become such a bad thing. Like, you haven't failed. You know, like, the world has failed you. So I think it's been really hard for a lot of people. And it's kind of interesting, the people that got straight A's in college, a lot of them naturally did well, but a lot of them are kind of... A lot of them, I feel like, just anecdotally, are not doing so well because in school, it's very clear what you need to do to succeed. You know, like, getting an A is pretty easy if you put in the right effort. But sort of when you leave college, you know, like, those expectations are less clear. So, yeah. You're from where? Switzerland, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a really great point. I totally agree. And there was a great piece in the Washington Post a few weeks ago about how finance companies are kind of preying on Ivy League students who, you know, like, they don't think they're going to be able to get a job out of college. They don't know what they can do. And so they're kind of picking off the best and the brightest, offering them jobs before they leave college. And I know going into finance doesn't sound that bad, but it sort of robs these students of all the possibilities they could have been thinking about. Yeah? We didn't get an agent. In hindsight, maybe we should have done that, but we actually had a particular publisher in mind. Because they do really great work with design, and they do these really gifty books. And that was one of the things we wanted to do as a since we're a website, you know, we weren't interested in just packaging our stuff up and having it be a book, which I think is a pretty common thing that happens. But we wanted it to be, like, really beautiful and designed and, you know, kind of outside of what we could do ourselves, which is why we chose to go through a traditional publisher instead of self-publishing. So we just actually reached out to an editor at this publisher, and they were fans of the site, and we just kind of worked through a few different ideas before we landed on this one. So, anyone else? Yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard to send out a lot of resumes and hear nothing back. And we all have a lot of college debt, and I think it's like a very hard thing. I have friends who were lucky enough to get jobs out of college, and they kind of feel stuck in them because, you know, they're paying their loans back at a certain rate, and they feel like they have to keep that up. So I think debt is a big issue. As far as, like, personality-wise, I don't think anything... I actually think... some people have coped with it well, and some people haven't. What are we doing on time? 2 minutes. Okay. We went through like a million names, all of which were terrible. Except, I actually think this is a great title. Because it's hard to say, so there were some sort of publishing concerns. If you say, like, how to survive graduation, you sort of get filed in self-help, and also that's a terrible title. But Oh, the Places You'll Go, I think it's like a, I think it's funny because it's a popular graduation gift, and it's like pretty much the worst gift you can give. Not because it's a bad book and not because we dislike Dr. Seuss, because it's like, you're going to get like 4 copies when you graduate. So we thought this would be like kind of a nice alternative, like as a graduation gift. We think it's a little more honest than Oh, the Places You'll Go. So, you know, the idea was kind of to sort of, well, actually, Oh, the Places You'll Go has like these kind of dark moments, and the ending is that, like, you know, like you'll survive and you'll do well. And we kind of like that concept, and we wanted to sort of give like physical examples of experiences relating to that. Any last questions? Cool. Well, thanks all for coming out. I guess I'm just going to hang out over here. So.